Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's Easter message is our gospel reading from St. Mark, the 16th chapter. There was an old Alfred Hitchcock Presents TV show about a woman in prison who became good friends with the prison caretaker. When a prisoner died, he would ring the death bell, get the body, put it in a casket, and nail it shut. Then he would place the casket on a wagon and take it outside the prison walls, where he would bury the body in the prison cemetery. Knowing this routine, the woman devised an escape plan and shared it with the caretaker. "The next time the bell rings," she said, "I'll leave my cell and sneak into the coffin with the dead body. Nail the lid shut and take the coffin outside the prison with me in it. Bury the coffin, and because there'll be enough air, I should be able to breathe for quite some time. Then you can come back at night, dig up the coffin, and set me free." Well, the caretaker agreed to the plan. One day the woman heard the ringing of the death bell. So she left her cell, walked down the hallway, found the coffin containing the dead body, climbed in. Soon she heard the pounding of the nails. The coffin was placed on the cart, taken outside the prison walls, and buried. She began to giggle out loud, "I'm free, I'm free." But then out of curiosity, she lit a match to see who the dead prisoner was next to her. And it was the dead caretaker. In classic Alfred Hitchcock fashion, this scene finally shades to black as we listen to the poor woman screaming in desperation. She thought she was hidden, but she was actually buried. That little story is a good illustration of how we sometimes feel as human beings in this world of sin and death. Sometimes we feel buried. Not literally, like the woman in the story, but certainly figuratively. Buried with apparently no way of escape. And there's a good reason for this. People love the world. They love secular mammon and all of its comforts. They love leisure and security. They love satisfying every desire and whims of their heart. They love health and wealth. And what they don't love is God. Which is why church attendance is declining, godlessness is increasing, and Easter has become just another Sunday on the calendar. But the truth is, the world is killing all of us. The buried part is just the precursor to the dying part. You see, the prince of this world is the devil. And he uses his lies, his primary weapon, to deceive all of us into thinking that this world, this culture, is really something to hang on to with all of our might. He gets us to believe that the world is all there is, and that we should sacrifice everything, even our own lives, our health, our safety, our consciences, to the world. And so we listen to the devil, and we put our trust in people, like politicians and friends, thinking in them we'll have security. We put our trust in things like jobs and money and possessions, and they end up actually possessing us. And then we put our trust in our own hearts, thinking that we know better than God, thinking that in these worldly things we will find what we're looking for: security, peace, happiness, joy, love, the good life, whatever. But the truth is, these things don't give you life. They rob you of life when you allow them to separate you from God. They actually bury you in worry and fear, doubt and disappointment, and guilt and regret. And worst of all, the things of this world bury you in sin and unbelief. Because all the promises that the world makes to you are failed promises. But just look at your own lives. Some of us here are buried in worry and fear. In this economy, will I be able to retire? Or will I be able to retire at all? The doctor says, I have heart disease. What am I going to do now? The price of gas and food just keeps going up, up, up. How can I make ends meet? Some of you are buried in doubt and disappointment. I wish you were more like your brother. Sorry, but you didn't get the job. Why can't we just be friends? And some of us here are buried in guilt and regret. I can't believe I lied to my boss to get the promotion. What will happen if he finds out? I never stop thinking about the day I lost my purity. I've yet to live down the moment I got drunk and lost control. I wonder what my baby's face would look like today. Will God ever forgive me? To escape the harsh realities of the world, we bury ourselves in other things. To escape a difficult marriage, we bury ourselves in work. So we don't have to listen to a nagging conscience, we bury ourselves in our obsessions like Facebook, the internet, TV, games, videos. The list goes on and on. And when things get really, really bad, we might find ourselves burying ourselves in addictions like alcohol and drugs, pornography, and sex. Things that are malignant and so common in our world. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages of looking for life in a dying world. But it leaves you buried and worried, boxed in disappointment, drowning in guilt and despair, because that is the way of the world. The devil seals you in a dark and claustrophobic box, and then he nails the lid shut on his victims. And if there isn't screaming, there are heavy sighs, lifeless looks, and empty hearts. Sin has a way of doing that, promising you joy and then robbing you of that joy by burying you in worry and fear, doubt and disappointment, and guilt and regret. It buries you in these things because sin gets you to focus on the things of this world. It wants you to put your hope in the things of this world. It wants you to trust in things of this world. And then disappointment hits because the things of this world take life and not give life. That first day of the week after the death and burial of Jesus, the disciples were buried too. They were buried in worry and fear, doubt and disappointment, and guilt and regret. It had all ended for them. Crucified, died, buried. They had placed their hopes in a man who was now buried in Joseph's tomb, a man that they thought would make life better for them by healing their sicknesses and filling their bellies with bread, and yet a man that they had abandoned in his hour of greatest need. Even the women at the tomb going there to do the final preparations on the body of Jesus for his burial, they were buried in hopelessness and sorrow. Who will roll the stone away so we can care for the dead body of Jesus? The disciples had set their minds on earthly things. And for them, Jesus was just an earthly Messiah. But here on the earth, people lie, friends betray, money fails, and life ends in death. And so that's the reality. That is the reality of this world. We can put on rose-colored glasses and try to escape that reality by seeking entertainment or pouring ourselves into work. We can put on a fake smile and act like everything is okay. But every now and then we light a match and get a glimpse of what the world is really like. And then we're more like that woman in the Hitchcock story than what we really admit we want to be. But the women and the disciples went from being buried to being set free. They went from profound sorrow to resounding joy. What changed all that? What changed their worry into peace, their disappointment into joy, their guilt into hope? What changed it? The resurrection. The empty tomb where the angel was sitting and making that wondrous announcement. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. The tomb is empty. In a moment, They went from focusing on their earthly problems. How are we going to put spices on the body of Jesus, to setting their sights on the risen Lord? In a very real way, once the women had gotten over their fright at seeing an angel and the empty tomb, they rejoiced. They indeed were raised from the dead themselves. You see, Jesus never came to be anyone's earthly Savior. Jesus never claimed to be one. He never came to be one. Jesus didn't live, die, and rise again to give you your best life now. To give you more mammon in this world of sin. More to worry about. More to deal with. An already complicated world. He came to take away that which makes the world a place of worry and fear, doubt and disappointment and guilt and regret. He came to take away sin through his body on the cross. He came to crush the devil's head. He came to defeat the power of death. He came to establish God's kingdom here on earth. And what is that kingdom but the church? Where Jesus comes to give what people need more than anything else, to be reconciled to God through the forgiveness of their sins, to be saved by the power of the gospel. Jesus did not come to make you earthly rich. He came to bring to you the treasures of heaven, yours by grace through faith in our risen Savior. You see, this is such a great day for Christendom. It's a great day for all of humanity because Christ's resurrection proves that Jesus has overcome the world. His resurrection proves that sin, death, and the devil have been defeated. His resurrection proves that Jesus is God's Son, and everything that he said, all that he taught, is true. His resurrection proves that all who believe in him will rise again to an eternal life of joy and peace at the resurrection. But that life of eternal joy and peace doesn't begin on Judgment Day for Christians. It begins now. It began the moment you were baptized. In those holy waters, right there in that font, many of you participated in the death and burial of Jesus, as Paul writes in Romans. When you were baptized and died with Jesus. So that means that all of your sins, all of your worries and fears, doubts and disappointments, guilt and regret, were buried with Jesus. And then in those waters, the Holy Spirit resurrected a new person. A person who is raised with Jesus. A person whose sins have died with Jesus. And a person who rises with Jesus, free of sin, as Jesus is free of sin. And now free of the shackles of sin and death, and free from the bondage to a dying world, and free from the lies and deceptions of Satan, you have true joy and true peace. You have eyes that see that the world cannot give you joy, but Jesus can. The world cannot give you peace, but because Jesus has washed away your sins, you have peace with your Heavenly Father, an eternal and everlasting peace. The world can now trouble you all it wants, but it cannot take away from you what God has given you in Christ Jesus, in our resurrected Lord. Joy in his resurrection, joy in your resurrection, and peace. Peace with God the Father and the forgiveness of sins. So I hope you see that Easter isn't only about Christ's resurrection, it's about your resurrection too. What does it mean to die and be buried with Christ? It means that you're dead to trespasses and sins. It means that the grave no longer has claim on you. It means that you're dead to this world. As Paul said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. So you're free from its worries and fears, doubts and disappointments, guilt and regrets. You're free from everything the world tries to bury you in, because you're resurrected in Christ. These things no longer have power over Christ, because he died and he is risen. And they no longer have power over you, so long as you put your trust, your faith, in the one who died for you and rose again. And now, we get to do what the women at the tomb did, the disciples, Peter and John, did. We get to go out and tell others who are buried in their doubts and disappointments and fears about the one who has set you free, Jesus Christ, your risen Savior. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so are you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.